Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. This is our live edition of the program. We do once a week, typically around 4 o'clock Central Time on Wednesday afternoons on our main Facebook page, if you'd ever like to join us. The phone line to call in live right now is 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost stories with us live. Join us, shall you?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And like I said, 216-446-7810, our phone number to call in and share your real ghost story with us, streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube as we do this 4 o'clock Central Time every single Wednesday. Well, as much as possible, really. In fact, next Wednesday it's not going to happen because I'm going to be on the road. But as often as we can do these live things. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Please do call in. The phone lines are open. 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810. I know we have a lot of folks that now listen to us overseas, whether it be from Norway. I see Denmark. I see Dallas, which is not really that far. California, Philadelphia. Thank you all for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. We can only do this thing with your live calls every single week. In fact, our first caller dialing in right now at area code 469. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is George.
Hey, George.
Texas.
Welcome to the show, George. Thanks for calling in. You got a ghost story for us today?
Yeah, I got plenty, actually. I've actually been meaning to call you guys, and I used to listen to you guys a lot. About a year ago, I had like a two-hour drive to work, and I needed a podcast or audiobooks and stuff to listen to, and I found you guys. And at the time, I had dealt with some paranormal stuff, so I basically went through most of your backlog of shows, like just going to work and coming back every day.
Well, that's a lot of shows. So you've been basically listening to us for probably hearing our voices more than your loved ones than the last year or so, if you've been listening that much.
Yeah, well, I don't work there anymore, so it's been about a year since I've worked there. But in that time frame, I listened to a crap ton of the shows.
Yeah.
But anyways, and I had been meaning to call because, like I said, I've experienced some stuff. And I guess a quick little backstory is, I used to be like an atheist. Like, I didn't believe in anything of this stuff because I was just like, you know, ghosts and spirits or whatever. I don't believe any of that stuff.
Sure.
And then, you know, things happened and I kind of got thrown into this world and I was like, oh crap. Okay. There's definitely something.
Okay.
Well, I would actually like to call at some of the points to tell the big story that I have because that one took over the course of a year or so. But this, these things happened after the fact. And I guess, I mean, what would you want to hear about? Because I've got stuff of, like, shadow people, some work with stones that I've done.
I guess I would say start out by sharing, I guess, your most impactful story. Let's start out with what changed you from thinking there was no such thing as ghosts or spirits to making that that move? And I'm not going down any sort of religious road or anything like that. Just what made you think, okay, maybe
right.
There's something.
I guess spiritual.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that is, I guess, the big story. I'll try to condense it down as much as I can. But basically what it was is that the person that I was with at the time was essentially being possessed. And me being, you know, very logical and very, like, you know, I don't believe in any of this kind of stuff, I was like, what is this that's going on? And
what,
first,
what was going on?
I only ever saw it.
Give me some example that? There. Give us a little context there. You said the person was possessed. What was going on? What led you to think that person was possessed?
Okay. Well, basically, the more I got to know this person, the more, like, you can tell when someone is acting a certain way, or, you know, like their nuances or just the way they talk or how they act. The things that happened, like, I knew this was a completely different thing inside of them. And I guess it built up, but, like, I only ever noticed it whenever they would get drunk or just kind of be in a different state of mind. And I just pass it off as that, like, oh, well, they're just drunk. They're just, you know, a little tipsy or whatever. So I didn't think anything of it, right? Okay. Until one night when, and this is basically a female, which I'm still with, actually. One night we were, it was like, you know, kind of cliche, it was, you know, stormy outside or whatever, mm-hmm. and the power goes out. And she was sleeping on my bed, and I went to the bathroom. And so I'm in the bathroom, and I'm finishing up, and I see her walking, and I'm just like, hey, what are you doing? And she just kind of, like, shuffles, like, to the, we live on a condo, and this is on the top floor, and she kind of shuffles to the balcony, and I'm just like, oh, well, maybe she's getting some fresh air or something.
What's
the bathroom? And as she opens the door to go out there, I finish up washing my hands, and I go just to go, you know, casually walk up to her, you know, see what's up, mm-hmm. and she gets on the balcony and, like, tries to, not jump off of it, but like almost like get on top of it. Or at that point, I was just like, whoa, what are you doing? You know, went over yeah. there, grabbed her, and was like, hey, what? I was like, what's wrong? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? You know, just trying to like get something out of her. And like, she had like a blank expression on her face. It was just completely like no one's home kind of thing. And as I'm telling her, like, what's going on? What did you do that for? What's going on? Like, and she's not saying anything. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like you could see something that like rose up from whatever it was, and it gets into her face. And then it's like she looks for like a split second, looks around, and then laughs. And then she just kind of like that. And then she wakes up and she's like, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on? What's going on? And I'm like, okay, like, what just happened? Like, did you not see? And then, well, from there, that's when she finally told me that she's experienced this stuff before, where she would like kind of black out, and, you know, she would get to the point where she would almost hurt herself, but she would always wake up just before. Like, she would fill a bathtub with water and wake up right before the water line was about to, you know, drown her, basically. So she was telling me that stuff, and I'm like, what? Like, okay, you know, I'm yeah. again, I'm very non-believer at this point, but I'm like, all right, well, you know, that's odd. And I still didn't really believe it at the time, but I was like, all right, whatever. So I kind of watched it because I noticed that it was like every time, I guess she'd be in that state of mind where I guess easily possessed from, like, you know, like if she's drinking, because we were in college at the time, so we would drink like every other night or something. Mm-hmm. And I would notice that, you know, whenever she was drunk, like I guess easily be able to be possessed, like it would be like a, not a switch, but like she'd be, you know, be herself, kind of loose, whatever. And then suddenly she would like pass out for a second. Mm-hmm. And then wake up, and like someone else was there, and it was, and I could tell because it's like as if you were to jump in someone else's body, and you're kind of trying to calibrate what it is that's going. Like, okay, like you kind of feel your hands, you move a little bit, like just kind of like testing things out, and that's when I noticed, like, all right, something is up, you know. And this again, this was over the course of a couple of months, just kind of gradually seeing what it was, until finally I was like, okay, you know what, something's up. Like I gotta. Whatever. So, because she would get up and she would like try to just walk off, and whatever it was that I was dealing with at the time, I just thought, hey, like, you know, just ask her what your name is. Like, hey, what's your name? Tell me your name.
Yeah.
And she would never say anything, and I would just be really adamant about it. I was just like, hey, no, you know, I would kind of hold her down, like, just to not let her get up, and she would struggle. But I'm like, hey, just tell me your name, and I'll let you get up. I'll let you move. I'll, you know, the simple request, nothing. I even talked to her before. And was like, hey, if I ever ask you your name, just tell me your name, right? And she was like, yeah, like, why wouldn't I tell you my name? And I'm like, well, it's just, you know, as a testing kind of thing.
Sure.
So anyways, this thing was like, when I would finally, you know, get it down and be like, hey, tell me your name, I'd kind of hold her down, and she would just struggle, whatever. And for the longest time, I didn't get anything out of it. I was just like, tell me your name. I know you're not her. Tell me your name. And nothing. So finally, one night when, you know, I noticed something like that was going on again, I kind of, you know, basically sat on top of her and was like, hey, like, tell me your name. And it's like, at this point, it was getting frustrated. It was just like.
Did you get the name out?
And then,
you don't need to say it on the air.
I don't have a name.
Okay.
Oh, well, it's kind of something from the Bible, I guess you could say. Because at the same time, I didn't know anything about.
You don't need to repeat it on the air.
But, okay. Well, basically, yeah, it just told me that it didn't have a name. And then I was like, oh. Okay, like it's talking. So then I kind of talked a little bit more. I was just like, well, what are you doing here? And it was, well, I'm just trying to have fun. And I'm like, well, what kind of fun are you trying to do? And I don't know, just, you know, mess around, cause trouble, stuff like that. And I was like, okay, but, and I, at this point, I'm like, I guess thinking logically. So I'm just like, well, what kind of trouble can you get into? I mean, obviously, if you feed off of trouble or whatever, you're not going to get much trouble done, you know, I guess messing with me. But if you go further and she gets in trouble, what, she gets locked up and you're, you know, you run out of that, right? And then this is where, I guess, to me, made it to where I believe there's something beyond this world, because that's when it said, it's like, well, I don't know, we could, you know, bring her into our world like we almost did the other night. And that's where I was kind of, I mean, to me, it sounded like a threat, but at the same time, that's what, like, made me go, like, other world, like, you know. And I tried asking more questions after that, and it kind of shut up.
Sure.
And I did get its name out after continuously, you know, I guess trying to, like, get something out of it. But, yeah, that was something that, I mean, and the same thing with, because, I mean, I collect stones. I've always had an interest in stones. And I've had some of those, and when I was looking up, because when this was going on, I was like, oh, well, what do I do? Like, should I get holy water? Should I get crosses or whatever? And, like, I kind of did stay away from that. But, yeah, like, something about the stones, I was like, huh, well, let's test it out. Let's see what, if they do anything. And, yeah, I had some, just, like, I would use them as a testing method to where, yeah, I would have a stone with me, and she wouldn't know. And I would walk over to her with it in my hand and just kind of like sit next to her, and she would start to feel uncomfortable. And I'm just like, okay. And even when she was asleep, or like when this thing was around, I would have the stone and it would have like an effect, even without her knowing that I had it. Mm-hmm. So from there, and I had basically pieces of obsidian and tourmaline. And from what I researched also, I found out that those are huge about, you know, something about dispersing negative energy or transmuting negative energy. I'm not entirely sure. But I would use those to kind of, I guess, push this thing away. And, I mean, more and more, it was, I guess you could say, getting a little bit more powerful, because it was able to actually make her tired and basically have her pass out and then basically take over. So after a while of trying to figure out what I should do, it kind of culminated up to a point where I used a rainbow obsidian, actually, and I had basically had massage her with a stone like everywhere to just try to, like, because it was, she would say that it would felt like it's on her right arm, but she would always say, like, it feels really weird, like my right arm is always weird before this stuff happens. So I would try to focus on that, and, you know, it continued on for a while, but until finally I was like, you know, I haven't touched her forehead with a stone or anything like that, which, you know, a third eye, all that kind of stuff, whatever. And so when I went to go do that, she's kind of like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. And she's like, she's telling me, like, she doesn't know why she said that, but she didn't even know why she reacted that way. So I was like, well, here, let me just do this. And she was just really against it. And
yeah.
She was like, no, just don't listen to me. Do whatever you want to do. I don't know why I'm saying
did,
this.
Did it
like,
eventually, okay, so, did it eventually get eradicated? Is this still an active,
yes,
situation? Okay.
No. I eventually did remove it, okay. Which, at this point, this is when I called my sister, because my sister used to be pagan and used to be all into this kind of stuff. So I called her, told her the story about it, and she was like, wow, okay. But first off, she just told me, get some sage, get some of this, you know, cleanse the house, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, well, I've done that. I've done all that, you know, but let me finish it. Let me tell you. And I told her that I got rid of it. And that's when she told me, like, you know, this is all very cliche sounding, but that's when she was like, well, okay, I didn't think I had to tell you this, but, you know, our family, we come from a line of, like, brujas and good witches or good, shamans, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But, and she started telling me about that, and I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
You're kidding me, right?
There's some family history.
She's like, no. Yeah, she was like, no, like, she was telling me, like, you remember a couple years ago when I was looking up our family tree to see...
So,
you know,
so you determined that, and you found a way. I don't want to cut you off. We've got some other callers here we should jump over to here soon because they're on hold. But so it was eradicated out. That's good. It's almost kind of like it's kind of funny because it's almost like if Blue Apron were to sell an exorcism kit or something of that nature. You kind of you did your own your own kit and it worked.
Well, it was funny because I went to a Catholic church thing because I was curious. I was like, hey, this thing says something that, you know, was kind of Bible related. And I was like wondering if you guys would know anything about it. And they, I mean, I guess the place I went to, they were just kind of like, oh, well, It's probably not that. It's probably not that. No, it's nothing. We'll say a prayer for you. And I was like, wow. Okay, thanks. You know, that's, well, that's when I went on my own, yeah. Did my own research.
Well, I'm glad that it worked out because I could see this going 30 different bad ways, but I'm happy that it ended the way it did. So thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. I really do appreciate that story and the call. Caller at 617, you'll be up next. Right now, caller at 678. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Fernando.
Hey, Fernando.
I'm from Georgia.
Welcome to the show. You got a ghost story for us?
Well, not a ghost story. It's more like a alien UFO thingy, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. We primarily do ghost stories, but we can do that quick. Go ahead.
All right. So about 2 years ago, I was in high school, and I worked at a restaurant, Texas Roadhouse. It's very good. And my dad would want to go pick me up. So we drove to my sister's house. And she lives like near a cemetery. It's like pretty sketchy. Mm-hmm. And I shit you not. Above the cemetery, there was about 5 lights, like just blinking off and on, off and on. And then for a moment, like they were off. And then they turned back on. And then, like, they shot out right into the sky. And my mom, you know, she caught it on tape. Mm-hmm. But her phone, it broke, mysteriously. And I was like, wait, you know, that's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's like, well, her phone, it broke. But, after she caught it, we were being, like, watched, you know, like, followed and whatnot. Like, I don't want to say too much about it. Mm-hmm. But, we were being like followed by people, and it's pretty some scary shit. And I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it or something.
I have no idea. It's interesting because you set up a spooky atmosphere with the cemetery, and so that kind of gets ghostly. And then you have the flashing lights, and then being followed. So I don't know. I have no idea. It's almost like someone, I'm going to venture to say you saw something you might not have been supposed to be seeing. And I'd be more concerned actually in that case of the living being aware of that with you than I think anything of the dead variety. But thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. Do really appreciate that. 216-446-7810 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I'm going to ask everybody who's out there who's listening right now and watching us.
Hello?
Hey, hang on one sec for me, caller at 617. Everybody who's watching right now, please do press share on this, whether it's, I don't know if there's a share button on YouTube, but I know there is on Facebook. Please do press share. It lets everybody else know who is subscribed to our channel know that we are doing this thing live right now. Without that, it's luck of the draw if Facebook's going to let anybody know. So please do press share. Greatly appreciate it. Helps us create an even better show for you here this afternoon as we take your calls live. Okay, caller at 617. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Laura. I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Okay, let's hear your ghost story, Laura.
Okay, so this is something that I really can't explain. I couldn't find really anything to explain it, so I'm curious as to what you guys think.
Okay.
This happened around midnight, and I remember it so clearly. It happened around midnight when I was about to turn 13, so I was 12 and waking up as a 13-year-old, and I was sleeping, and I was woken up by this blue light in my face, and I turned my head into my pillow. I remember turning my head into my pillow, and this light was so bright that I could see it, even though my face was, I was face down in my pillow. I wasn't hurt, but I was hearing, like, this purring sound, and it scared the crap out of me, to be honest. I don't know what happened, but it went away. It was like pretty quick. Like once maybe it realized that I was frightened of it or whatever, it went away. But I never really understood what it was, but I'd keep having dreams about it being in certain objects. Like it was in a paperweight that my father had gotten from work. It would be in different, I would dream about it in different places. So I'm just curious as to what you guys think that might be, or And that's my story.
Tell me more about the object again.
It was just a blue light. I couldn't really describe it. It had like this purring sound, if mm-hmm. anything.
When you say it was in other places, how is it manifesting in other places?
Just like if you had a glass paperweight, I would have these lucid dreams where I was walking like mm-hmm. down the hallway and going into my parents' office, and I'd find this glass paperweight, and it was just kind of within the paperweight, kind of glowing out from there.
You know,
just like a glass paperweight with a light in it.
Yeah, which there'd be no real way for it to be glowing unless it's something that's affected, but it sounds like there's obviously much more to it than just something that maybe, you know, like a glow in the dark type thing that's affected by light. You know, it kind of gets energized and then it reflects. But I would say, you know, like any haunted object, there's certain things that have energy. There's certain things that seem to, you know, project it. I wonder if the fact that it's glass, the fact that it's translucent, made it that much easier to sense, that there was something there. But I also wonder if there's a level to you being sensitive to it, whereas if I were to look at it, I would just see this paperweight that's glass. And if you have a certain sensitivity level, that you're able to pick up on some of those things a little bit stronger than others. Did anyone else seem to be able to sense anything like that?
No, my parents were just very, you know, there's no such thing as ghosts. You know, it's all in your head. And, you know, if you believe in that stuff, there's no such thing. It's, you know, you don't mess around with that stuff.
It's funny because you have the parents that have the attitude of, oh, it's just not real, nothing. But don't mess around with it. Just don't screw with it. It's like, so you do kind of believe something there. But, that would be the only, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, it shall not be named.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously we're not
like
going to have
Voldemort, so do not name it.
Yeah, so we're not going to have a true answer to that, but that would be my guess. It's probably something to do with energy and either your sensitivity to it or just the fact of what the object was. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us here this afternoon on the program. 216-GHOST-10 is our number, 216-446-7810, to share your real ghost stories with us this afternoon. Caller at 778. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
Is that me?
That is you.
Well, Tony, I think I should award you a doctorate in the exceptional vision of ghost thinking, because you bring us all so much what we all want to hear, my friend.
Random guesses at what's going on, essentially.
No, seriously, Tony, we have listened to your ghost podcasts, and I shouldn't watch the TV. Tony, you and Jenny have so much experience, and there are so many people out there that want to learn and understand what exactly this ghost phenomenon is about.
It's a lot of stories, yeah. A lot of interesting stories, and try to make some sense of it.
And you know, I can tell you a million stories or a few or just one, but I will tell you one.
All right, let's hear one.
I was moving furniture the other day for my mother, and I was bending down, and I was something grabbed my butt, and I said, "Mom, what the hell is this?" And she said, "That is why the reason we moved out, son." Hey, Tony, you guys keep well, and thank you.
All right, try not to get fondled by any more ghosts. Thanks for sharing that with us. 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 is our number. Caller at 814, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Paul.
Hey, Paul, you got a ghost story for us?
I do.
All right. Let's hear it, Paul.
Got a couple. I've listened to the show for about a year now. Loved
it. Thanks.
So my story is, I'm a Civil War reenactor. I've been doing it for over 15 years.
You're a what? I'm sorry?
And I had a Civil War reenactor.
Okay.
And I had an experience at Fredericksburg Battlefield in Virginia. And what happened was, I was walking through the battlefield, and we were trying to find one spot that not a lot of people know about. It was known as the Stonewall Line, and it's to the left of where most of the battlefield happens.
Okay.
And we're walking through, and this part of the battlefield, there's even a path of it. There's just the trench line.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to the plaque, everything slowed down. And we kind of, I had my father and my brother kind of here. And this pause happens, and we start hearing what sounds kind of like a coyote's yipping and hollering.
Mm-hmm.
And really, really bizarre. Keeps getting louder and louder. We hear it coming from the wood line. It gets so loud that I panic and grab a handful of rocks, thinking a whole bunch of coyotes are going to come.
Sure.
When the noise gets to the tree line, everything stops. There's a pause, and suddenly the birds and everything else kind of comes back into sound. And my father, complete skeptic, doesn't believe in ghosts, is like, what just happened? So we go back to the ranger station and ask if they have a coyote problem. And they say they've not had a coyote or a wolf or anything like that in the park for over 5 years. And so we kind of wonder, was that the rebel yell? Or was that something that came from the battlefield? Very interesting.
It's hard to know on a setting or a plot of land like that, you know, what exactly you did hear.
Yeah, which is really, really bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, it have you ever had any other experiences come? I'm always curious when we get stories from reenactors, because quite often they have stories of,
I've,
you know,
had a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I've had a whole bunch, but it's one of those things where I've listened to your show, love your show, but I just haven't had the guts to give you a call. I've got one more quick one for you.
Go for it.
During the 150th anniversary of Chickamauga, so it happened about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I was at a living history on the Chickamauga Battlefield, which is northern Georgia.
Sure.
And we were all around the fire, just kind of talking, having a good time, and all of a sudden this person appears and says, do you know where the 16th Indiana is? And we actually knew of a group that was from 16th Indiana, and we said, they are just over there, about 2-minute walk. And the guy walks through a tree. there was a tree right by our campfire.
Yeah.
Guy walks through a tree and disappears, obviously. And everyone around there was just absolutely floored. There was 10 of us.
Now,
and it was one of those things where it's like, you know, what do you do with that? You know?
When you saw him and when he came and asked for the directions, did he appear to be translucent in any way, shape, or form, or just look like everybody else?
He looked like a normal Union soldier.
Okay.
And I mean, it's one of the things where, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, you're kind of tired. And just seeing that was just, I mean, unexplainable.
If I like, oh, this guy's really in character. He's still playing along and we're kind of done for the night.
Yeah, right?
It's almost like Renaissance Festival, folks, where it's like, okay, I got my turkey leg. I'm in the parking lot. I'm just trying to find my car. Please just tell me where parking lot, you know, C purple is or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just one of the things where both of you stories, I mean, it's completely, it's one of the things where it's, even when you think about it, it's just like, I don't know where to put that.
Sure. I think it's one of those things where when you're in a setting and if you're bringing back things that are similar or familiar to whatever the entities may be that are frequently frequenting it or haunting it, it seems to bring them out more. You hear that about haunted buildings and stuff where, you know, people may be dressing in period attire or something and suddenly it's a very active night. Same sort of thing, and probably even more so and more common would be a battlefield where you have the reenactments taking place.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that, and I've had a couple other experiences, but we can save it for another time.
Sure. All right, well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you sharing the story this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Phone number is 216-446-7810. Lines are open. 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost story with us. I did see a comment here on Facebook from Heidi, and I'd love to hear that story if you care to call in. It says, I remember playing with a boy when I was little in the garage, and nobody saw him except for me. When I grew up, I later found out that the boy I played with was murdered by his dad. Well, there's a fun story. There's a fun playmate. But, you know, I think a lot of kids have these stories where it's, you know, it's a playmate of some sort. And only later do you find out that that playmate didn't necessarily live at the current time window that that you're living in. Again, phone lines are completely open at this second. So if you want to get your ghost story in, right now is the time to dial in. 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. If you want to spell it out on your phone, you can do that as well. And we'll get your ghost story on the air here this afternoon. I'm very tempted. There's Jay says, I love you guys. You are my Casey Kasem. So, of course, when I see things like that, then I immediately want to jump into Casey Kasem impersonations and then go into like a Luther Vandross song. Like, and now your long distance dedication. That's a bad Casey. Let's try that again. See, I get tempted to do it and then I start doing it. It's been so long since I've heard Casey because he's been off the air for so long. I don't like just listen to Casey Kasem for the hell of it all the time. Dear Casey, I'm writing in. Oh, I almost heard something through the speaker there. That wasn't me. What the hell was that? Maybe there's something trying to make a long distance dedication. Anyway, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. Love to hear it here this afternoon as we do our live version of the program. I'm going to jump over to one of these calls for right now. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey guys, I'm a longtime listener. I listen while I'm at work on my 10-hour shift. You guys are all I listen to. And my name's Kayla, and I'm from Michigan. And I've always considered myself to be sensitive to ghosts. And I'm absolutely terrified of them, though. 100% terrified, whether it's good, bad. I can get into other things later. But the reason I'm calling, I was listening to the show earlier, and I'm on my lunch right now, maybe think to call you guys. So me and my sister, this was about 15 years ago. My sister and I, we were out late. I'm not sure what we were doing, going to the store, doing something probably that we weren't supposed to be doing. And we were on our way home to my father's, and we're driving along. And it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. It's dark, pitch black out. And there's, you know, in the headlights, we see somebody walking on the side of the road as I'm going around a very sharp curve. And this person, this thing, just turns their head, and it's a hooded figure. I want to say man, but no, it's a hooded figure. And there's no face. I mean, it gives me chills just saying it. I haven't My sister talks about it every once in a while, but I honestly, the words haven't come out of my mouth since the incident. It terrifies me every day thinking about it. This man, this thing, with no face on the side of the road. So, you know, my 16-year-old self, my first instinct is to stop and turn around. So, of course, I turn around to my sister's protest. No, no, don't. Are you effing nuts? Okay, well, I turned around. Nothing. Nowhere to be seen. And, I mean, I turned around within 5 seconds of seeing this and reacting. There was nowhere for this thing to escape to jump in a ditch. There were no ditches. It was a field on both sides of the road. We would have seen them somewhere. And, you know, years go by, and my sister's actually discovered that she can lucid dream. And so, you know, once this happened to her, and she ended up with sleep paralysis, it terrified her. So she began doing some research on things, and she has come to discover that she has seen this faceless man in one of her lucid dream episodes, which absolutely terrified her. She's discovered that, you know, there's good and bad to lucid dreaming, and she's afraid to sleep because of not wanting to do the lucid dreaming. She has no control over it. It just happens. And, that's what I got. But, I'm actually going to call back in. So I've got, you know, talking about this just makes me think of other episodes of good things and bad things that I've dealt with over the years, you know, maybe you guys can shed some light on this faceless man. I actually, looking up your phone number, I seen it was one of the articles on your webpage was the faceless man. So I might have to read up on that a little bit, but see, I don't like to throw it in my psyche, so it's there. I don't need to psych myself out. But thanks. I love you guys. You're a great way to pass the time by at work.
Yeah, I would agree. Sometimes less information is better. Just, you know, you get so much, you know, information into your psyche, you have no idea what to do with it. It can really weigh you down. As far as what that was, you know, that's very hard to know. Was it something that, you know, was of this earth or was it not? You know, even at one time, it's hard to know without having, you know, more interaction there. I don't think everything that presents itself as being as scary is necessarily something bad. I just think sometimes that's just how it appears, and then we know it shouldn't be in that place, and it can end up being much more troubling than it may actually intend to be. I totally get it, you know. If you don't want to look it up, you don't need to look it up. You're going to sometimes get more information than you may necessarily want. I myself, for example, I'm trying not to watch the news much anymore. You know, it's just one of those things where it can just get to be too, like, too much. And it's like, I'm done. I don't, there's not a whole lot I'm going to do to change anything or be able to. So I'm going to focus on what I can control. Otherwise, it just gets to be like overload of stuff. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And that can really apply to almost anything that you would find troubling. So 216-446-7810 is our phone number. If you want to call in and share your ghost story, 216-GHOST-10. We'll kind of make that our last call for calling in here. I want to read a couple of the comments here. And if we have another caller, we'll take that. If not, we'll wrap up here in just a moment. Another ghost experience here. When I was working at a call center, when it used to be a theater, it was only three of us. And when it was quiet, I heard a child say, "Hey," next to my ear, and nobody was sitting by me. I asked if anyone else heard it, and they didn't. I came to find out it was an old theater that burned down, and people had died. It's common. It's very common where, you know, if you're sensitive to a certain extent, that you'll hear things other people will not. And that's just how it seems to go. Emily says, a few occurrences that my boyfriend and I had in our place usually involves electronics. During the middle of the night, I woke up. A few minutes later, the TV turned on by itself. I started hitting my boyfriend to wake up because the TV turned on by itself. But the thing was, both of our remotes were on my dresser. Then I was in the other room with my boyfriend talking about work. I see my boyfriend's Xbox turned on by itself, neither of us touching the system or controller. I remember quite a few times hearing one of the doors in the garage open and close during the night. Also feelings that I'm not alone in that part of our house. Rock says, in response to the faceless people, I have experience with faceless people, women actually, very similar to the ring in terms of looks, but without a face. Actually, the face is more of a distortion of quick movement or blurriness, but at first glance, it appears faceless. So there's a little more insight in someone else relating to what you experienced there in that call. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. Do greatly appreciate it. So this is our new regular time, as you know from last week. Wrong button there. Our new regular time for doing our live episodes. Set it for your reminder. Although I will say this, next Wednesday we're going to be on the road, so we'll not be doing one of these next Wednesday, but picking right back up the following Wednesday again at 4 o'clock. Central Time. So that's going to wrap up the live episode for today. Thank you, everybody who called in and shared your real ghost stories with us. Greatly appreciated. Until next time, thanks for watching and listening to another edition of Real Ghost Stories Online.